Time for a Friday Locked On Vols. Jalin Hyatt met with the media on Thursday. The maturity and the discipline in his voice, it was telling. We'll hear from Jalin Hyatt and talk about some of his comments. And Jesse Simonson of On3 Sports, we talked about his article yesterday. Now it's time for him to defend his SEC power rankings. All that and more coming up on a Friday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, how we doing? Happy Friday. Welcome into Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. I want to thank you guys so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day and following this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Vols and following myself on Twitter at underscore Kaner. I am Eric Kane, your host of this podcast. I do radio for 99.1 The Sports Animal. That's the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. I also write for the Rivals site covering Tennessee football, basketball, recruiting, baseball. That is volquest.com. And got a fun show we're going to get into here today. We got Jesse Simon coming up for the rest of the show. But here in segment number one, we've talked about extensively, and we'll continue to talk about extensively on this pod, how are you going to replace Javonte Payton and Velus Jones? Who is going to step up and kind of be a guy for you, right? And the conversation always starts with Jalin Hyatt. And he's a guy that had a very good freshman campaign, or for all things considered, a 3-10 record. And, you know, I think he led the team in receiving and all that type of stuff, had a couple touchdowns. And you thought that he was just going to blossom in this Josh Heupel offense. That was not the case. He was relegated to the fourth man in that rotation, the first guy off the bench, essentially. He's a backup slot behind Velus Jones. And it was very humbling for him. But you still have 2 years left. There's still time. And, you know, the thought is Jalin Hyatt can step up and truly reach his full potential this go-around as a true senior now for Josh Heupel. Kelsey Pope, new wide receivers coach, and Jalin Hyatt met with the media on Thursday, and some really, really good comments from both. Here's Kelsey Pope on Jalin Hyatt, his renewed mindset, and kind of his progress so far this offseason, how it might have been a little different compared to last year.
Man, Jalin has done a great job of changing his body, for one. He's about 180 right now. He's doing a great job of embracing physicality. I think he kind of saw himself in high school and younger years as a speed guy. We talked even before I got the role about him embracing physicality and bringing that part of his game out. He's done a great job of embracing that. I think mentally off the field, he's taking a huge jump. He's in the building 24 hours. A lot of times I'm leaving late at night and he's either pulling off or about to walk out of the building as well. So he's done a great job of buying in and is consistent. Right, regardless of what result he's getting at practice week to week, whether he's having a great day or he's having an average day, he's in the building, he's staying consistent. I think he truly understands the process right now, so like where he is.
So those are two words there that you heard Kelsey Pope say, physicality and consistency, two things that Jalin Hyatt is trying to focus on very, very much. Now, here's Jalin Hyatt on what he's trying to accomplish this spring, and a little bit about his weight gain, but remember the words physicality and consistency. Here's Jalin Hyatt.
Yeah, it's two things, consistency being one, and the second one is just physicality. Those are two, like, the biggest things I have to work on, and that's what I've been trying to do this whole spring camp. It's all of it. You know, last year I was playing around 164. You know, I wasn't confident in my weight, and, you know, when you get on the field in the SEC, you know, there's big guys out there. And that was one thing I had to emphasize, is just getting bigger. So I stayed in, tried to eat six times a day, just getting my meals in. And, you know, right now I'm around 184, but I'm not done yet. You know, my goal is to get to 190 before fall camp. So right now I'm just trying to maintain the 184.
Right there, the two things, you can tell those two have had conversations, right? Kelsey Pope said he's trying to focus on this, he's getting better on this. Jalin Hyatt said, my goal this spring was to focus on consistency and then my physicality because I'm a smaller guy. And, of course, his weight gain, how about it? Playing at 164, knowing that's not good enough in the SEC. He's put on 20 pounds already. His goal is to get up to 190. He physically does look better. I mean, he's always going to be a lean, skinny guy, but he does look a little bit bigger, and I think that's a contribution to him, and I think that's credit to him for putting in that work and getting it done. It was a difficult year for Jalin Hyatt as a sophomore. Again, took a back seat, had some opportunities at the beginning of the season. You're seeing all these guys at the receiver, Peyton, Jones, Tillman, just flourish in this offense, and he's kind of the odd man left out. Here's his reflection this offseason and kind of the steps he took to try to riddle those woes and get back to where he wants to be.
Yeah, I had to look back last season on what I did wrong. That was like the biggest thing I had to do. I had to meet with Coach Pope and Coach Burns when he was here and just try to, you know, change everything that I did last season, because obviously it didn't work. So, we got back to the planning board. I tried to stay consistent and come in here 24/7, you know, getting on judge, film, just things like that, just to better myself and better this team.
Maybe he didn't have the role that he wanted to last season, still came in and still produced as a fourth receiver and still played quite a few snaps per game. But knowing that there's work to be done, knowing that for him to accomplish the goals and get back to being a routine guy that he wants to be, he's going to need some help. And one of those guys that helped him along the way and continues to help him to this day, that's Velus Jones, Tennessee's starting slot receiver last year and, of course, an NFL draft hopeful. I believe he will get drafted. Here's Jalin Hyatt on that dynamic and that relationship, Jalin Hyatt and Velus Jones.
And my confidence wasn't where it was at last year. And Velus, he helped me along. You know, when he took the slot position, he brought me with him. And I was just learning from what he did in this offense. And I was struggling with it last year, and he wasn't. So I had to take a step back, just look at how Velus run his routes, just a lot of things that he's done here at Tennessee, and that's what I've been trying to do. So, I text Velus every time, show him film, and he's been helping me through this process.
All right, the next clip you're going to hear from Jalin Hyatt, it's very, very telling. It's talking about freshman year to sophomore year, the transition from one coaching staff to the next coaching staff, and he's going to say a word, and you guys will probably spot it here. It's a word you never want to hear as an athlete, as a competitor, as a warrior. Give this a listen. Again, really good stuff here from Jalin Hyatt as he's opening up and owning his mistakes.
Yeah, year one, my freshman year, when Coach Pruitt was here and Coach Chaney, I didn't take it as a great year for me. I felt like I could have done better, but it was a good year as far as a freshman year, and I think that's what kind of messed me up for year two. When we were going through all that process, when Coach Pruitt got fired and Coach Hype came in, I just got complacent. I wasn't working as hard as I usually work. So this offseason, I never worked as hard as I ever did, and I'm just trying to keep building on that.
As I'm sure you guys picked up, the word was complacent. You never want to be complacent, not just as an athlete, but anybody. Your job, my job, with this podcast, if I was just complacent, this would not get very good views. This would not get very good ratings. I want to be as good as I possibly can be each and every day. I never want to settle. I don't want to be complacent. Jalin Hyatt the same way. Any football player is the same way. So credit Jalin Hyatt for owning everything this offseason and knowing as soon as the bowl game was over, he was going to come back to the facility and he was going to get to work. And he was going to put in that work. And yeah, sure, the season's a long ways away right now, but the proof's in the pudding this spring, and he's the first word typically, honestly, him and Squirrel White and Romel Keaton's in this conversation as well as notable standing out so far this spring. Great stuff there from Jalin Hyatt. One other thing on Kelsey Pope being named the wide receivers coach. Jalin Hyatt was a fan. Give this a listen.
He definitely deserves it. I think we knew, when Coach Burns left, it was hard on us because, he's a great coach and the Saints have a great coach. But Coach Pope was there every step of the way. When I was struggling last year, he was there, working with me, trying to get me my confidence back, just trying to do a lot of things for me, and I thank him for that. And when I knew he was going to be the receiver coach, it just made me even more hungrier because, we have a great relationship. He has a great relationship with the teammates here, with my teammates, and I'm just proud to call him my coach.
Fantastic stuff there from Jalin Hyatt, Tennessee's rising junior wide receiver, hopeful starting wide receiver, to get back to where he was in terms of role his freshman campaign and ultimately improve on that and become even better. All right, that was from Thursday's media availability. All that's up at VolQuest.com and 991thesportsanimal.com if you want to check all that out. And we'll look forward to finishing off the week of media availabilities coming up later today. And then, of course, the scrimmage comes up on Saturday, and we will have complete coverage of that. And I'll tell you all about it, everything I see at right here on Locked On Vols coming up on Monday. All right, Jesse Simons in On3 Sports. He will join us for segments 2 and 3 coming up. But first, it is Built Bar. That time of the year where swimsuit season, it is right around the corner. Spring break, lake, ocean, pool time. You want to look your best, and if you're eating those candy bars and unhealthy snacks, you can do better, and you can do better with a Built Bar. Look at most of the candy bars, 240 calories, but if you trade it in for a Built Bar, that's 17 grams of protein first and foremost, only 130 calories on average, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and again, I'll say it again, 17 grams of protein plus. Both are covered in 100% chocolate. Yes, a chocolate bar is covered in 100% chocolate, but a Built Bar is also covered in 100% real chocolate, but it's good for you, and it tastes so good. Mint brownie, coconut almond, white chocolate chip cookies and cream. If you can imagine a flavor, chances are they can too, and they're going to make it. It's all so good. If you want to check all those out, go to Built.com right now. Use that promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15. For 15% off, that is at Built.com. Welcome back into Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. And, of course, watching on YouTube, subscribing there as well. On yesterday's show, we went over the new On3 power rankings for the SEC at this point in the spring session. And we talked about it. The man that wrote it, Jesse Simonton of On3 Sports. And now I want to bring him onto the show so he can defend his work. Jesse, what's up, man?
How's it going, Eric? Good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you, man. Appreciate the time. You know, looking at these power rankings,
love
of course.
Background.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of brave stuff back here. So
a lot of brave stuff. We're rocking the hat opening day. Big stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Gotta love it. You got Tennessee here at number 5. So 5 out of 14. And you cite a couple of things, of course, the return of a quarterback, Hendon Hooker, pairing that with the Josh Heupel offense, seeing what they did in year one. You also note, though, if you're going to take a step in year two, the defense has got to stop somebody. Why Tennessee at number 5 here for you?
I just think, you know, and I've kind of talked about this even on other shows, that the SEC, I think, right now has a very defined top: Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M. And we're even probably being a bit optimistic, including A&M in that, when they haven't won 9 or 10 games, you know, except for one season with Jimbo. But they certainly have the roster for that. Then the SEC has a very defined bottom with Missouri and Vanderbilt. And so when I look at the rest of the league, I think Tennessee is one of these teams and is kind of a program potentially on the rise that has a higher ceiling than, say, Kentucky. Now, I think Kentucky also, certainly, you can make a case, an argument that they could be the number 2 team in the SEC East in 2022. But I just like what the Vols have in terms of offensive skill, talent, and the schedule it does set up, especially with the way, if they can get through September undefeated, beat Florida, I think that's going to give them some momentum where at minimum they go 8-4. Maybe they can go 9-3. And 9-3, I think that probably makes them the second best team in the East in 2022.
You bring up that schedule. What is a must-win game for Tennessee this year? I mean, I look at the schedule, and sure, you're not going
to
win all
Florida.
Those. Exactly. It's got to be Florida, right? If not, can't. I mean, Florida owns you in this series, right? But if not this year, then when, right?
I don't even think it's not if not this year, when. I just think that for Tennessee and that fan base to actually believe that something is going to be different, they need to beat the Gators. And yes, this is a prime opportunity because Florida is obviously down this season and they're under their own rebuild with Billy Napier. But the fact that there is this kind of swelling optimism around the Vols, they need to take advantage. This is a team that is capable of not only beating Florida, but potentially competing with LSU in Baton Rouge. The LSU is not great this year. So Florida is a must win in terms of just the program optics. Can they actually take that next step? And I think it's also just a must-win if Tennessee wants to continue to kind of build this momentum that they established in year one under Heupel.
We'll get back to your power rankings here in just one moment. You check them out as well. It's an On3 SEC power rankings. Tennessee, offensively, Josh Heupel, this type of offense, is it sustainable in the Southeastern Conference? We're going to find out, but do you think it is?
The thing is that it works against a lot of MAC teams. And Tennessee is going to get to face a decent amount of MAC teams every year in the East. And so, is it championship caliber? I have my, I'm skeptical there. Now, Tennessee fans could throw back at me, hey, we put up plenty of points against Alabama last year, and they made it to the national championship, and they did move the ball against Georgia, which was a historically great defense. But the problem is that this offense, and you saw it in the Georgia game, and that's where I have my concerns when you face the better teams, you can move it between the 20s, just fine. There's all sorts of space. Heupel's offense, this, you know, Baylor air raid, you know, almost sister type scheme that he's running here, it's going to create layups for your quarterback. I think Hendon Hooker's a really good quarterback, but if he had real optimism in terms of what his draft potential would be, coming off last season, he would have entered the draft this year because this is a bad quarterback draft, and he did not do that. So, yes, Tennessee can put up points against the Vanderbilts, the Missouris, those sorts of programs. But when you get into the 20s against a team that has better athletes than you, a la Georgia, what happens when the field shrinks? And that's where the Vols just struggled, and that's where I think this offense, it needs space. And suddenly when you're in the red zone, you run out of real estate real quickly.
Jesse, you covered the Tennessee program when it was a complete shit show, to put it bluntly, with Jeremy Pruitt. You've seen a lot of bad football here on Rocky Top. From afar, viewing Josh Heupel in year number one, do you think the guard's kind of changing here on the Hill, and things are kind of looking up for the better?
I think it probably starts more with what's happening behind the scenes, the administration, the Danny White being the new AD, and just kind of bringing some steadiness and stability to an athletic department that was not only fractured, it wasn't quite Auburn level chaos, but it certainly, you know, was a cluster behind the scenes with a lot of, you know, hands in the cookie jar. And I think Danny's come in there, and I am not on the ground anymore, but just talking to folks, I do think, from what I've heard, I think Danny's come in there and kind of said, hey, the buzzword this offseason with everybody was alignment. Tennessee was a year early on that. They did that last year. They really got lockstep. Let's all move forward in the same direction. And so that's the key. Is Heupel a guy that can, you know, bring Tennessee back to, you know, championship contention? I'm not sure. I think that the story's still out on that. There's a lot of concerns I think I do have defensively, both with the talent on the roster and just kind of what they're doing right now. But, I mean, with the NIL collective and Nico, it certainly seems like they have some momentum. So if you can get some more players, who knows kind of what the future holds.
We got Jesse Simonton of On3 Sports. You can give a follow on Twitter at Jesse R. Simonton, R.E. Simonton. And check out his work there. We'll have more from Jesse coming up, and more on those power rankings that had Tennessee pitted 5th out of 14 at this stage in the spring in the Southeastern Conference. Hey, betonline.net, it's your number one source for all your sports betting news and information. Masters weekend is here. Opening day was yesterday. 7 games took place. I put some coin in my pocket. I hope you did as well. Baseball's here. This is a great time to jump in on all the action. You can do it all at betonline.net. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, podcast reveals, all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting options, esports scores, and also your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Right now, head on over to the website today. Check out everything they have to offer. It's a plenty. And learn more about all the latest trends in the action. You can also do it from the palm of your hand by going to betonline.net. Betonline.net. It is where the game starts. All right, we got just a little bit left here on this Friday edition of Locked On Vols, chatting with our guy, Jesse Simonton of On3 Sports. Jesse, you were here to talk about the power rankings for the Southeastern Conference. You put this story out there a couple of days ago, but a new gig with On3, man. It's like you've been positioned for a job like this for quite some time. You worked for SEC Country, of course, FallQuest.com. You worked for the Miami Herald for a while. You have covered the Southeastern Conference for a long time, and now you're doing on a national level for a great publication in On3.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's a big opportunity. We're hoping to kind of build and grow this thing. Obviously, it's a new website still in its infancy stages, but there's a lot of moving parts happening behind the scenes, a lot of exciting things, I think, to come for the future of SEC fans. So I'm just kind of an early part of this. We're going to be writing, podding, making videos, The big thing is I'm just stoked to be back, you know, in stadiums come Saturdays, you know, in the fall again. And that's just going to be it's there's a reason why it's different with the pageantry and the fans and just how much it means to folks down there. You know, it's easy to joke that it means more, but it's true. There's a reason why they win all the time is because the investment and the care and just the, you know, think about the tortured fan base that Georgia was, you know, for 40 years and just kind of that cathartic experience by them winning a national championship. What if A&M, I have a column out yesterday, what if A&M figures out the quarterback position? That's they would be exercising 83 years of demons. You think they wouldn't like to do something and celebrate and kind of throw some stuff in Texas's face before the Longhorns join the conference? So we're excited, big opportunity, you know, lots of pressure, but with it comes privilege. So I'm ready to get rolling.
Yeah, really looking forward to checking out your work at On3 Sports. So your first thing you put out there was this SEC power rankings where you have Tennessee fifth. Why second in the East instead of maybe third or fourth in the East? Because in the overall rankings, you got Tennessee at fifth. You put Kentucky at sixth. Those two teams are very similar, in my opinion, in terms of what they return and kind of how they're built. They're kind of on an even playing field right now in terms of who might finish second or third in the East.
They are. And honestly, again, this is just the spring power rankings. You know how these things work. They'll probably shift. I'll have another one that comes out. Maybe post-spring or obviously preseason. And with that, we'll have more information. We'll know more about these teams. SEC Media Days will have come and gone. Fall camp will have opened. So again, I went with Tennessee over Kentucky because I think that Tennessee has a higher ceiling. Now, Kentucky's floor may be a little bit sturdier than Tennessee's just because Stoops is the best football coach Kentucky's had since Bear Bryant. I mean, what he's done with the Wildcats is remarkable. Obviously, he's having to replace his offensive coordinator, huge offensive line shoes to fill with three guys headed to the NFL draft. And Kentucky does have a cake schedule, but also Tennessee beat Kentucky last year. So why not lean that way? I think in the preseason is just kind of where I kind of found that starting point with the Vols.
Yeah, just a couple more, and you can check out all of these at on3sports.com. Ole Miss, obviously going to take a step back, you would think. You lose Matt Corral, you lose Lebby, play caller on offense. Of course, you still have Lane Kiffin, and then you lose your defensive coordinator as well. A lot to replace, but as you so elegantly phrased it here, the Portal King has – you know, kind of put some new guys in the depth chart there to step up, like Zach Evans, Michael Trigg, Jackson Dart. What do you make of Ole Miss right now? And like you said, there's a lot to happen between now and the start of the season, but kind of what do you make of Ole Miss right now, kind of towards the back half of the SEC?
Yeah, I'm actually less concerned or have less intrigue, maybe I guess that's a better way to put it, with infusing the roster with all this talent. Mel Tucker showed it last year that, you know, you can take a bajillion pieces and if you kind of have the right puzzle, you can put it together and make it work. For me, it's Lane's entire staff pretty much is brand new this year. And it was no secret behind the scenes that I think Lane kind of had his eyes, you know, taking his train to some other tracks, whether that was Oregon, whether that was Miami, you know, whether he wanted to get involved. If Auburn, you know, potentially was going to become open. And so I just, how is that staff going to mesh? You know, his brother came, then left and went back to the NFL. You know, he didn't even last a month in Oxford as part of the new staff. And then he left. And so there's just a lot of turnover and upheaval there. I don't have concern. I think Jackson Dart's a good player. I don't think he's going to be able to replicate what Matt Corral did, but Kiffin has certainly restocked the roster with some good talent. My biggest concern really is just how is that coaching staff going to mesh and can it come together?
Last thing here for you. This is back on the SEC East side of things. A team that is clearly towards the cellar, not Vanderbilt, but I'm talking about Missouri. A lot of hype for Missouri coming into last season, and boy, did it fall short. Could a quarterback, if a quarterback is added to this Missouri club, how much better could it get essentially?
Well, Eli has recruited well. I mean, they had their best recruiting class, I think, in school history this past year. Luther Burden, the five-star receiver who they beat out Georgia for, you know, was kind of the star of spring practice. Missouri is one of the few teams that has already wrapped up everything. They kind of started in February and got done really before spring even came here. So the quarterback, that's the position. You lose Bazelak. I don't believe in either guy that they have on the roster right now. A lot of folks are high on Sam Horn, the freshman that's coming in, who, again, Missouri beat out some bigger programs for. They're a team I would wonder, do they go portaling? You're going to see some guys, obviously, you know, move before this May 2nd deadline following spring practice, guys that either don't win a job or want greener pastures elsewhere. JT Daniels is a name that is, you know, obviously kind of percolated there. If I was JT, I probably wouldn't go to the SEC, wouldn't stay in the SEC if health is a concern and kind of one of the biggest questions surrounding my career right now. So I maybe look elsewhere, Oregon State or West Virginia, but that is an option for Eli. So we'll see. I think their quarterback depth chart and room, what it looks like right now is not going to be what it looks like come the fall.
Awesome stuff there from Jesse Simonton. Give him a follow on Twitter, Jesse R.E. Simonton, new at On Three. And what's some stuff you got coming up here over the weekend, maybe next week?
We got some takeaway stuff from you know, there's three spring games, Kentucky, A&M, Auburn. And then I got a big look at kind of the biggest impact transfers, offensive and defensive guys who potentially make some noise for a bunch of different programs, you know, across the SEC in 2022.
Really looking forward to checking out the work. Jesse, thanks so much for the time. Congrats on the new gig, and really look forward to having you back on, man.
Appreciate it, Eric.
All right, that is Jesse Simonton. Does a fantastic job. Again, was on the Tennessee beat for years, so he knows the Tennessee program. Not the new regime, of course, but he was here for the prior two, and it's done a fantastic job and will do a fantastic job covering the SEC for On Three. Hey, that's going to do it here for this episode of Locked On Vols. We will have scrimmage number two of spring practice. It's open. We're going to be there. I'm going to be there. And I will tell you what I see, the trends, and everything that stands out, all that coming up on a Monday show. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. You guys have a fantastic weekend.